The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund prepares for an important meeting in April. Now, the meeting in Washington is expected to, among others, focus on ways to stabilize the economy of South Sudan. Mr. Agri Idri is an economist, and he joins me to provide a perspective of what issues the IMF and World Bank should look at to help stabilize South Sudan's economy. Also, we will look like how the formation of the transitional government will help the economy of South Sudan. Honorable Agri Idri, good morning, and good to have you on Miraya Breakfast Show this morning.
Thank you again, once again, Senator William. I think the next forum for where the issues of South Sudan will be discussed is fundamentally about the economy.
Yes.
And issues that will be under discussion.
Okay, just before you go into the details of that, let's begin with the simplest of all questions now. What does economic slowdown really mean to you?
You see, economic slowdowns means economic retardation. You have retarded economically. And this economic retardation affects the growth of the economy in terms of the inflation, in terms of slow production, slow or non-production, and hence heavy, high the standard of living becomes very difficult for the people to afford.
Yes, and give me a better sense of how this affected the poor and the average persons in South Sudan.
And now, if you talk about how the average person is affected, you will just reduce it to the level of a person that was in 2005, was receiving a minimum wage of $100. By that time, $100 is equivalent to 200 Sudanese pounds. Now, today, this $200 is £200 is almost like 10 pounds, like 10 pounds or 15 pounds. Now take 15 pounds and go buy a water. A drum of water in Umumiki and Gudile is 15 pounds. So the salary of an entire person for the whole month is now equivalent to one drum of water. Only water. You have not talked about his food, you have not talked about his rentals, you have not talked about his feeding, you have not talked about his children, you have not talked about education, you have not talked about health. This is the simplest you can understand and see how serious is the impact on the poor. Now, coming to the rural areas, we are talking about those who are staying and receiving salaries, the minimum wage pay. Now, going to the rural areas where they were able to produce things, buying from the local market. Now the prices of the prices of fuel in order to generate agriculture production has also gone way high beyond the roof. It has just gone over 1,000 or 2,000%. Now the person there cannot now afford to produce. Once he is not able to produce, now he is not able to support his family. He is not able to buy the basic things. The teachers at that rural areas are not able also to go to teach. The health facility also collapses. The roads collapses. So you can see how devastating it is on the economy and the poor people.
Yes, and there's a lot of people are actually now expecting the formation of the transitional government of national unity, hoping that it will help address the issue of the economy. I mean, how realistic is that right now?
You see, the economy has come to where it is now because of the war that has started. The war started and immediately it shut down one of the major income generation of the country, because our economy was dependent on one source of income, which is fundamentally a mistake. From the onset, it was fundamentally wrong for a whole country to depend on one source of income. So that one source of income, which constitutes 98% of the national income, without it, supporting the government expenditure become virtually impossible. And that is where the World Bank predicted in 2015, to December 2015, that by May, by maximum of May, the country will run out of its reserves, and the inflation will hit high. And it exactly happened like that. From May up to now, we are now suffering. Now, the impact of this, the impact of the peace agreement and the implementation of the peace agreement will impact positively in the economy. In what sense? Since we will now have peace, we will now have the investors, will now be the investors in the oil sector, will now have the confidence to come back and rework on this. Despite the fact that there is a slowdown, there is a low prices of oil in the international market, but the fact that it is resuming and it is going to inject some certain amounts into the economy is a welcome gesture through the formation of the transitional government. Secondly, in any country, there will be no development when there is war and there are war rhetorics being proclaimed by the government itself. You chase investors when you talk about war and defeating rebels or rebels defeating you, defeating government. So once we unify our national speech, our national political address to the nation and to the whole world that we are committed to peace and we are working for peace and we will ensure stability in every corner of our country and our priority will now be this. Now your economy will pick up some good indicators where it can now pick up, where the investors can now come in, where donors can now have confidence, and then from there, these are the perspectives where people see that when the transitional government is formed, there will be some changes. We are not expecting a miracle, and it will take us time, in order to put things right so that it comes back to where we are. It's not going to be a miracle, and we should expect ourselves to now become producers, not dependent on free money and free money.
Yes, now
we should be producers at our farms. Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. Continue that point of yours of producing in our farms.
We should be producers. We should be producers at our farms. We should be producers at our workplace. We should really be producers. We should the government expenditure must really be cut down and increase and expenditure in infrastructure development, especially on road, on power generation, on agriculture, so that we create wealth to our people. When you create wealth to the people, when you create employment to the people, to the youth will have now a future to live on. They will not have, they cannot be easily engaged in tribal fighting.
All
what
right.
We have now is you have had an idle, heavy, big number of youth.
Yes. Now, do you think the IMF and the World Bank should also take part in efforts to stabilize the South Sudan's economy?
Yes, I think it is very important for these international financial institutions to take a lead, to take an effective role in so that our economy can get recovered. How? They will help us restructure our institutions, restructure and reinforce our private sector, because the World Bank has its own private sector hand that gives a strong support to private sector, and we need to now work more on the private sector and encourage our people to go private instead of all becoming government employees. You see, in South Sudan, I think 98% of the people are government employees. 98% of the people working in the government are working. The working force in the Republic of South Sudan are government employees, which is wrong. Which is reverse in other developed countries, whereby only 2% and mainly army, intelligence, and other things that work in the government. The rest of 98% are in the private sector. And that is why you see that the countries are developing and the economy are going very well, because the private sector pays
yes.
Government and government gets a lot of income from those activities.
The U.S. Special Envoy to South Sudan and Sudan, Ambassador Donald Booth, when he came here, he says, this is the moment of much-needed economic reforms in South Sudan.